All right, good morning, everyone. Let's begin. So our shiur today is dedicated by Menachem and Susie Schoenfeld in memory of Menachem's grandmother, Sarah Yetta Bas Yaakov Sender, Mrs. Sarah Yavlon. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her neshama has an aliyah. And also in memory of all of the victims of yesterday's horrific day in Eretz Yisrael, in memory of Ezra Schwartz, of Yaakov Dan, of Aviam Ruvain and Aaron Yisayev. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, their neshamas will have an aliyah. So let's begin. Today's daf is Chaf Hei 25. We're beginning again, three lines down from the top. So Iboy Lehu. So the Gemara goes ahead and raises a kasha. And what's the kasha? Iboy Lehu. Uberes al das. So we'll say, what happens if a woman goes ahead and violates das? Now, what does that mean, violates das? So if you take a look at Rashi, third wide line from the top, Rashi says, Uberes al das Yehudis. A woman violates Das Yehudis. Now remember, again, this goes back to our Ksuvis days. We had Das Yehudis and Das Moshe. So what does it mean, Das Yehudis, for example? She'enat Sinua. For example, she violates the norms of modesty. So Yotza v'Rosh Shapirua, she goes out with hair uncovered. V'tava b'shuk, or she weaves in the marketplace, which again, these were all considered to be immodest activities. Umidaberesim kol adam, she speaks with every person. Damar b'ksuvas parakamadir diyotzev shelo b'ksuva. So we'll say, we saw again Maseches Ksuvas, that if a woman breaches what's called normative standards of tznius within a community, that is grounds ultimately again for forfeiture of her ksuva. So we ask the following question. So let's say a woman violates these basic tenets of tznius. So tzricha hasra lafsi b'ksuvasa. So does she require a warning before she loses her ksuba? Or does she not require a warning? Look at Rashi, tzricha hasura, shema tachzon. So do we warn her? Do we warn her that this behavior will cause her to forfeit her ksuba and hope that perhaps the warning will be the motivation for her to turn herself around or not? Mi aminan, so do we say, mi aminan. Actually, Rashi just says, Shema tachzor v'im tachzor lo tafsik suvasa. O eina tzvicha hasra, debalav hasra mafsida. So also, I said, that's an interesting question. So does she automatically forfeit her ksuva when she demonstrates these behaviors that seem to lack tznius, that seem to lack modesty? Or do we say that if she engages in these behaviors, we warn her? And if she doesn't pay heed to the warning, then she loses her ksuva? So the Gemara says the following, Kevan dover sadas lo bay hasra. So do we say that since she's violating the norms of modesty, she does not require a warning? Rather, again, once she violates, she automatically forfeits the ksuma. Or does she get a warning? So the Gemara says, "Vihadraba tadraba tashma as arusa v'shomeras yavam lo shosos v'lanot los ksuva." So we'll say the Gemara tries to bring a raya to this, a proof to this, from our Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? An arusa, a woman who has had erusin, and a shomeras yavam, which means a woman who is waiting for yibum. If these women, again, were warned by their arus, or ultimately, again, by the yavam, not to be alone with a particular man, and they violated that warning, so what's the halacha? Lo shosos v'lo not los ksuva. They don't drink, but they also don't collect their ksuva. So the Gemara says, mishtahu delo shasya. So what do we see from here? We see that they don't drink ha kinui maknila. But yet, again, we spoke about this yesterday, there's no drinking, but yet what? The process of kinui, the process of warning, could absolutely be done. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. If she's not going to drink, then lemai. What's the point of the warning? You're both saying, the point of kinui, the point of warning, is to trigger some secondary process. So under normal circumstances, the reason a man warns his wife about being alone with another man is that if she violates the warning, she's going to drink the waters. So in this case over here, if an arusa and a shomeras yavam can't drink, so then what does the warning accomplish? To which the Gemara says, Lav la hafsida ksuvasa. Does it not go ahead and come to put her on notice that if she violates the warning, what's going to happen? She's going to lose her ksuba. And Rabbi said, what do you see from here? You see from here that a woman only loses her ksuva if what? If she is first warned. If she's first warned, but even if she goes ahead and she engages in an appropriate behavior, that engagement in appropriate behavior by itself does not automatically result in the loss of a ksuva without a warning. Amar Abaye says, no, that's not what the warning is about. Lo osra alav. No, the warning is there, because if she violates the warning, the kinui is there, that in the event that she violates the warning, she will become usher to the arus, or usher to the yavam. But again, the Gemara suggests over here, Abaye says, ksuva, she loses immediately when she goes ahead and she engages in this behavior. The warning is there, that if she violates the warning, she will become usher to the arus or to the yavam. Rav Papa, Amar Rav Papa says, no, the warning does something else. Lashgosa kishehin is sua. This is actually interesting. Rav Papa says that the warning serves to allow her to drink when she becomes in a sua. People say, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Lashgosa kishehin is sua. Vim tistar la'achrin is sua. And shusa ayide kinu yishal irisin. Shiniyach lashgosa kishehin is sua. Vim tistar la'achrin is sua. People say, listen to this. So Rimeir wants to suggest, Rav Papa wants to suggest, that Lamaisa, if a man warns his wife during Irisin, or while she's a Shomeras Yavam, as much as that warning can't result in her drinking during that time, what does happen? If she goes in and she violates the warning during Nisuin, meaning after marriage has already occurred, that warning that was given ultimately again during Nisuin, or while she was a Shomeras Yavam, that warning works to make her drink when she's in Nisua. Kedisanya, as we learned, Ein Mekanen La'arusa La'ashkosa Kishi Arusa. You can't warn an arusa, and you can't do kinui for an arusa in order to make her drink while she's in arusa. However, aval mekanin la arusa lashkosa keshin esua. But what can you do? You could warn an arusa. You can do the kinui with an arusa, and ultimately, if she violates that warning later on during nisuin, she could drink as a result of that previously issued kinui. I will say now, the novelty in that is, I might have thought, the Havamina is, that I would have thought that a warning only works when it could result in drinking. But if the warning can't result in drinking, then it's halachically insignificant. And therefore, I would have said that a warning that's issued during Erisin, or a warning that's issued while she's a Shomeres Yavam, should not work for after they're already married. Kamash Malon, it does. Amar Rava. So Rava said the following. Tashma, Almana the Kohen Gadol. Ta'amana the Kohen Gadol. Grusha vechalutza lekohen hedyot. So Rav said the following. Remember, the Mishnah spoke about this case of if a kohen gadol is married to an almana, a widow, or a regular kohen is married to a grusha, or a divorcee, or mamzeres unusina liyisrael, or a yisrael, a man is married to a mamzeres unusina, or a bas yisrael is married to a mamzer unusina. And Rav says, remember, all of these are examples of illegal marriages. Right? These are all people who are married to women they can't be married to. So what's the halacha? Lo shosos velo not los ksuva. So the halacha is, in these cases, when it's an illegal marriage, the women don't drink, nor do they take their ksuva. So the Gemara says, meaning they lose the ksuva. To which the Gemara says, "Aye, what do you see from here? Mishtohu delo shasya, hakinui makni lahu." So you see from here, in these cases, Rabbi said, that's what? That they don't drink, but yet, again, you could still engage in the process of kinui. So the husband could still go out and warn his wife. So the Gemara says, ulamai. But what's the point of this warning if the warning itself can't result in the drinking of the bitter waters? Ila osrin alav, if you want to say, like we said before, that the point of the warning is what to both sides, that if she violates the warning, she becomes prohibited to the husband. That doesn't work here. Why? Because she's already prohibited. Remember, these are already illegal marriages. If that's the case, so again, ha'asirin v'kaimon. These women, right? The grusha is already usher to the kohen. The almana is already usher to the kohen gadol. The mamzeres is already usher to the Yisrael. So what does the kinui accomplish? Elalav lahaf sidon k'suvasan. Rather, it must be that what does the warning accomplish? The warning goes ahead and causes these women to lose their ksuva. So what do you see from here? You see from here that a woman only loses her ksuva when? After she is warned about engaging in negative, immodest behavior. So Rav Yehuda midiskarta. So Rav Yehuda midiskarta said, no, that's actually not the point of the warning. Lo osra leboel kibal. Bless you. What happens? The point of that warning is to asser her to the man with whom she allegedly committed adultery, much in the same way that she is asser already to her husband. What does that mean? This nun, because we learned, kishem sha'asur labal, kach asur laboel. So the same way, if a woman commits adultery, the same way that she is usher to her husband, she is also usher to the man with whom she committed adultery. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the following. Then in these cases, even though the marriage is illegal, The point of the warning is that in the event that she violates the warning, not only is she usher to her husband, even though she was already usher to her husband, but what? She's also usher to the man with whom she violated the warning with.
Isn't she already
usher
to him
anyway? No. No. Let's say she's alone with a man. Husband warns her not to be alone with Reuven. She's alone with Reuven. Husband now is going to divorce her. Why can't she marry Reuven? Right, correct. This is correct. I mean, let me clarify this. Thank you. Remember, yes, she is usher to every other man during marriage. When we say usher to the Boel, thank you for this clarification. When we say usher to the Boel, we mean, again, on both sides, that in these circumstances, even when husband divorces his wife, she may not marry this guy with whom she violated the warning with. So that's the Gemara suggesting over here, that the warning, ultimately, the violation of the warning is not to cause her to lose the ksuva, but the violation of the warning ultimately is to ask her to this man with whom she violated the warning. So the Gemara goes back to Amar b'chinu misura. But suppose, remember, so the question still stands. Remember, we're still focusing. The question is one basic question, which is that in cases where a woman forfeits her ksuva, so for example, she's overes al das Yehudis, she engages in immodest behaviors, or das Moshe. So the question is, again, a simple question, does she forfeit the ksuva just by engaging in the wrongful behavior? Or does the wrongful behavior trigger a warning? And if she violates the warning, that's when she forfeits the ksuva. So the Gemara said the following, but we're still trying to answer that question. Rabbi Chanina Misura, Tashma. Rabbi Chanina Misura tried to answer it from here. The Elu Shebeis Din Mekanela. So this was the end of the Mishnah. Remember, so the Mishnah told us that there are cases where the husband himself can't warn his wife, and so Beis Din does it on his behalf. For example, Mishen is Charesh Bailo. We'll say if a woman's husband, if he became a deaf mute, Onishtata, or he became insane, Osha Yechavush Beveis HaAsurin, or ultimately, again, he was released from jail. So we'll say, so in all of these cases, husband cannot issue the warning himself, so the Beis Din offers it on his behalf. Velo lahashkosa amru. But I will say, remember again, the Beis Din is not administering this warning in order to get her to drink. That's not what they're doing. It's not in order to get her to drink. Rather, what? Ela leposla miksuvasa. Rather, I will say, what's the point of the warning? The point of the warning is Beis Din tells her, if you keep on engaging in this behavior, then what? Then what? Then you lose your ksuva. Then you lose your ksuva. So what do you see from here? Shmamina bai hasra shmamina. Therefore, the Gemara says, what do you see from here, Rabbi Osai? That in cases where a woman is going to forfeit her ksuva, the forfeiture only comes if there was first the warning, and then what? And then violation of the warning. Rabbi Osai, and that indeed is halacha l'maaseh, that's the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, the Rambam Paskins, that in cases, and this is all cases, this is cases of sota, like these sota-like cases, this is the case, same thing, if she's overes al das, if she violates the normative code of tznius, normative code of just modesty, in all of these cases, halacha l'maaseh, what it triggers is a warning, and then violation of the warning results in the forfeiture of the ksuva. The kulu my time alo omri meha. So it asks the Gemara, I don't understand. So this case, meaning this last case that Rabbi Chanina quoted, seems to be so explicit, right? It seems to say explicitly, Beis Din is warning her for what purpose? So that she'll lose her ksuva. Not that she'll lose. Beis Din is warning her so that if she violates the warning, she'll lose her ksuva. So it's quite explicit that a woman only loses her ksuva after the warning. So why doesn't everyone just quote this particular case, Dilma Shiny Hassam, the less law imsa the bal klal. I might have thought that this case is different. Why? Because we're both saying in this case over here, the husband is not present. Either he's not physically present, like he's incarcerated, or he's not mentally present. So I might have thought in a case like that, where she quote unquote has no fear of her husband, that's when ultimately, again, there has to be a warning. But in a case where the husband is present, if a woman violates the laws of modesty, essentially in front of her husband, that is such a blatant and flagrant violation of the sanctity of the marriage, that maybe that results in automatic forfeiture of the ksuva. Kamash Malan, the Gemara says, no, in every case, there must always first be a warning, and then only afterwards, violation of that warning causes forfeiture of the ksuva. Say, Bailu. So we'll say, so now we get to another question. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. So Ibailo. So we'll say, here's the kasha. Overes al das. Listen to this case. It's the same thing. A woman is violating das Yehudis. So we'll say, remember, das Yehudis. Remember from Ksuvas, there's das Yehudis, das Moshe. Das Moshe is a woman is violating halacha. actively violating halacha. So das yehudis is a woman is violating halacha, but it's specifically halacha slash minog. She's violating normative standards. Normative standards. So for example, the examples the Gemara gives, she's breaching the normative standards of tznius. So listen to this case. Overes al das verotza bal lekaima mekaima or ina mekaima. Well, this is a fascinating question. Let's say a woman is flagrantly violating the standards, the normative standards of tznius. So is a husband permitted to remain married to her or not? Or not? Meaning, again, do we say that the flagrant violation requires immediate dissolution of the marriage? Or do we say perhaps dissolution is recommended, but at the end of the day, it's the husband's decision what he wants, if he wants to remain married to this woman or not? So mi aminon, actually very interesting, mi aminon bikepeda, do we say that at the end of the day, the decision to maintain, to sustain, or to dissolve this marriage is based on the feelings of the husband? And in this case, again, the husband, not that he doesn't care, but he's not going to divorce her. Or do we say that what? Do we say that we don't have to look at what this particular husband wants? We establish a norm. And the norm is that a man does not want to be married to a woman who flagrantly violates the normative standards of tznius. Look at Rashi. Oh, Dilma kevan de kapit, kilomar, kevan de arche de baal mikbid bahachi al karche, dahainami havi kapit de lagabe. Since it's the normative case that a husband would go ahead and be makbid on this, therefore, again, I will say, we force this husband to be makbid. In other words, here's this interesting havamina, that even though this particular husband doesn't care, perhaps he doesn't care, it's not bad, whatever it is, the halacha says that we look at what's considered to be normative. And normative, again, this is not appropriate, and most husbands would not want to be married in such a situation like this. So essentially, do we say that this is a matter of subjectivity, and we allow the husband, it's up to him if he wants to remain married to this woman or not, or do we say no, that once there is objective violation of normative standards of tznius, of modesty, then by definition, we assume husbands do not want this marriage, and even if this guy does, he's, so to speak, bottle barov. He's bottle in the majority. It's a fascinating question. So the Gemara says, Tashma. We'll say, just so you should know, this type of question has many different ramifications in terms of, we'll see that certain violations that happen in a marriage, a husband's ability to overlook those violations or not. So Tashma, Ve'ilu she'bezdin mekanan lahen. The following is a list of women who bezdin warns them on behalf of their husband. So the mi she'nischarish baila, onishtata. So we'll say someone ultimately, again, who the husband became a deaf mute, or he became insane, or he's incarcerated. So we'll say in all of these cases, the bezdin, again, if bezdin observes that the woman is acting in an inappropriate manner, so bezdin will warn the woman, they act on behalf of the husband. So says the Gemara, vi'i amrit ratza bala kaima mekaima. Now, if you say that a husband has a right to maintain this marriage, even once there have been such violations, then avdi bezdin midi de dilma lo nechale labal. Could it be that bezdin is going to do something that the husband wouldn't want? I mean, we'll say, if we say that we ask the husband, do you want to stay married to a woman like this? Don't you want to stay married to a woman like this? If it's really just a matter of subjectivity, how could bezdin warn her about something like this? Maybe the husband wouldn't care. So the Gemara says, so what do you see from here? You see from here that lemaisa, again, when there are these objective violations of tznius, the halacha demands that the husband dissolve the marriage. Or I should say, not dissolve the marriage, but the halacha demands that a process be initiated. Whether that process is a process of sota, whether that process is a process of warning, but some type of process must be initiated. To which the Gemara says, not necessarily. Stama de milsa, kevan de overes aldas, himenach nechale. We'll say the other possibility is not necessarily, it could just be that we assume that a regular husband, a regular person, does not want a wife who engages in this type of behavior, and therefore we make the assumption that a husband would want this warning issued, and therefore Bezdin operates based on normative assumptions. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, not yet. Ibailu. So we'll say, just to understand, by the way, you ask yourself, well, how does Bezdin have the right to go ahead and make that assumption that this is what a husband would want? So we'll say, remember, again, when we get married, we explicitly say, Hari'at mikudesh asli betabazu kidas Moshe v'Yisrael. So we'll say means that we go ahead and we build our marriages based on what the expectation of halacha is. And therefore, in certain respects, what the Gemara is saying is the interpretation of that framework and the nature of that framework is absolutely up to Chazal to define. So what the Gemara is essentially saying is Chazal defined it that a man would not want a marriage in which a woman is breaching the most basic tenets of tznius, and therefore, again, they have the ability to go ahead and issue that warning on the husband's behalf. Ibayluhu, bal shemachal al kinuyav. So we'll say, so along the same line of reasoning, or the same line of questioning, so the Gemara asks the following. So what happens? So first of all, I'll say, just so you should know, how do we paskin? How do we paskin in this situation? You know, fine. So actually, we'll come back to this. I'm going to do the halacha afterwards. Let me just go a little bit right there. So the Gemara asks another kasha. Bal shemachal al kinuyav. So what happens? Let's say, we'll say, this, again, there's a follow-up. Let's say a husband warned his wife. And now he wants to go ahead and be mochel on the kinui. He wants to go ahead and forgive the warning. So he warned her, and then he decides, you know what? I don't want this process. So can he go ahead and say, you know what? I'm taking the warning off the table. So bal shemachal kinuyav, kinuyav machol, o eino machol. So we'll say, so this is an interesting shaila. Let's say he warns his wife, don't be alone with Reuven. And then he decides, you know what? I don't want this process. I'm not interested in subjecting my wife to it. I don't want it for my whatever it is. Can he pull it back? So mi aminon bekinui debal tal rachmana ubal hu mechal lekinuyav. So do we say that the Torah, this whole process, is dependent on the warning issued by the husband? And what? And therefore, if the husband issues the warning, the husband could choose to what? To pull it back as well. O dilma kevan dekanele meikara lo mati mechalei. On the other hand, perhaps what? Maybe we say that, no, we'll say, and this is an incredible muster in life, once you begin a process, you cannot pull it back. So you initiated this process, ultimately, again, of the warning of Sota. Once you started it, you can't retract it. So Tashma, we'll say, fascinating Shaila. So Tashma, ve'ilu she'beiz din mekaren lahen. Remember the Mishnah said, these are the examples, these are the cases of where Beis Din warns a wife on behalf of a husband because the husband can't do it himself. Mishnah is charish baila ol nishtate o shaychash beis asurin. If the husband was a deaf mute, or he went insane, or he was incarcerated in jail, so that Beis Din warns the woman on behalf of the man. Vi'i amrit baal shemachal al kinuyav. And if you say that at the end of the day, that a husband who is mochal on, a husband who retracts the warning, ultimately, again, the warning is voided. So avdinan midi da'asi bal machile, would Beis Din come along and do something that the husband could then retract? In other words, we all only assume that Beis Din is going to act on behalf of the husband if what? If we're sure that what Beis Din is doing is ultimately the ratzon of the husband. But if you're telling me now that Beis Din could initiate a process, and then what? And then the husband gets out of jail or he regains his sanity, then he could pull it back. Why would Beis Din do that? To which the Gemara says, Stama de milsa, adam maskin al das Beis Din. To which the Gemara says, no, Beis Din acts the way they do because the assumption is that most people will go ahead and agree with the approach of Beis Din in these circumstances. But lav dafka, that it removes the ability for the husband to retract the kinui afterwards. Tashma, the Gemara tries to prove this from a different way. So we'll say, we saw this a few Mishnayos ago, that when the husband is going with his wife to the Beis HaMikdash for the Sota process, so Beis Din gives him two Talmidei Chacham, two Torah scholars, to accompany him and his wife on the way. Vi'i amrit bal shemachal al kinuyav machol. So we'll say, so remember again, what's the reason for that? Why do they give him this Talmud Chacham accompaniment? The Gemara said, in order that the husband not have relations with his wife. Right, because remember, if he has relations with his wife, then what? The whole process is canceled. So the Talmidei Chachamim accompany him, ultimately, again, to make sure that relations don't occur. So says the Gemara, I don't understand. V'i amrit baal shemachal kinuyav kinuyav machol. But here, if you say that a husband has the ability to retract his warning, then what's the big deal? Lachle l'kinuyav v'livol. If he wants to have relations with his wife, that's his prerogative. Let him what? Let him just simply go ahead and void the warning, and things are back to as they were. Let him have relations with his wife. So the Gemara says, "Ma'ishna tamidei chachamim digimiri." Inachinami, the Gemara says, do you want to know why you have to have Tamidi Chachamim there? Because Tamidi Chachamim are well-versed. Di'i bai lemival, that if indeed the husband wants to have relations with his wife, the Tamidi Chachamim tell him, Amri le, achle likinuyech ubala. Interesting that the Gemara suggests, Inachinami, you're right. You know why the Tamidi Chachamim are there? The Tamidi Chachamim are there to tell him, look, first of all, don't have relations with her because it's important that you're mevara, that you clarify the situation. But if you are going to have relations with her, here's the process. Pull back, right? Go ahead and retract the warning. And after you retract the warning, then, of course, if you want to live with her, if you want to resume a normal marital life, that's your prerogative. Tashma, supposed to say another quote. Dam Rabbi Yoshia, Shlosha Dvarim Sach Li Zi'ira Me'anshi Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yoshia said that Zi'ira told me three things in the name of the men of Jerusalem. What are the three things? Bal shemachal al kinuyav, kinuyav machal. So I'll say, statement number one is that if a husband chooses to go ahead and be mochal, if he chooses to retract the warning that he gave his wife, he has the ability to retract it. That's number one. Number two, v'zakin mamre sharatu bezdin limchalo mochalino. We'll say a zakin mamre is a Talmud Chacham who refuses to yield to the majority opinion of the Sanhedrin Agadol, right? The High Court in Yerushalayim. He refuses to yield. The halacha is such an individual, zakin mamre, is executed. And the reason for that is because a zakin mamre is considered to be a threat to greater society, because he's not yielding to the psak din of the majority of the Beis Din. So the second lesson is that a Zakin Mamre, if the Beis Din wants to be mochav, the Beis Din wants to go and forgive the Zakin Mamre, they have the ability to do that. And number three, uben sorer umora, this is interesting, sheratzu aviv v'imo limcholo mochelenlo. And we'll say statement number three is, uben sorer umora, if his parents choose to forgive him. His parents used to say, we're not pressing charges, right? We're leaving it alone. That is parental prerogative. So let's remember again, Rabbi Yoshia is saying that Ziri told me these, bless you, told me these three things from the men of Yerushalayim. So then, Rabbi Yoshia says, when I came to my colleagues in the south, Ashnayim Hodali, so what happens? On two of these matters, they agree to me. Va'azakin mamri lo hoduli. So both say, so my colleagues in the south agreed to me that what? That a husband has the ability to go ahead and retract his warning, and parents have the ability to go ahead and forgive their ben sorer umora, not press charges, but they didn't agree with me in the case of Zakin Mamre, in the case of the rebellious sage. Why? Shelo yirbu machlokes b'Yisrael. Bosa is an incredible idea in order that there not be machlokes in Klal Yisrael. The Zakin Mamre represents an existential threat to the shalom of Klal Yisrael. We know, we've seen this throughout history. Individuals, again, who create incredible rash, incredible noise, and incredible machlokes and dissension within the system. So Rabbi says, this is quite amazing. So here you have Rabbi Yoshia saying, out of the three things that I heard from Ziri, so two of them, Rabbi, I just want to point out, by the way, just so you know, Chaveri Shebedarim, this is actually quite amazing. Rashi points this out, the Marashah points this out. Who are the Chaveri Shebedarim? Bosse, remember again, the Gemara, we learned this in Yevamos, that after Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 Talmidim died, so the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva established four new students, Shebedarim, in the south of Eretz Yisrael. So this refers to that Chevra of Talmidim over there. It's quite amazing. In any event, they agreed to me on two counts, Ben Sora Umora and the Kinui. Bosse, for our purposes, what do you see from here? Shmamina, Baal Shemachal al Kinuyav, Kinuyav Machal Shmamina. Bosse, what do we see from here? We see that halacha lemaisa, if a husband chooses to go ahead and retract and pull back the warning and void the warning, he has the ability to do so. Rabbi say, this is indeed how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. The Shulchan Aruch in Evan Ezer, Hilchos Sota, Simen Kuf Ayin Ches, Sif Yud Beis writes, Baal Shemachal al Kinui, that if a husband goes ahead and retracts the kinui, then kinui of machol, the kinui is machol, it's forgiven, it's voided, ki ilu lo kino klal, as if he did not want it at all. But there's one very important qualification here. Pligi bar, I left that one piece of Shulchan Aruch purposely. Pligi bar of Acha v'Ravina. But Rav Acha and Ravina had the following machlokes. What's the machlokes? Chad amar kodem stira. Both say, so let's say we've established now that a husband could pull back, could retract the warning. Now the next shaila is what? When? When can you retract the warning? Is that only before she violated the warning? Before stira, before seclusion? Or could he even retract it even what? Even after seclusion? So pligi bar rav acha ravina. So machlokes rav acha ravina. Chad amar kodem stira machol, la'acha stira eina machol. So one opinion said he can only retract the warning before seclusion, before she violates it. But after she violates it, he can't retract it. The chad amar, the other opinion said, la'achar stira nami machol. No, he could even retract it, even after she violated it by being alone with this man. Umistabra kiman da amar eino machol. But the halacha seems to appear, it seems to be in accordance with the one who says that he can only pull it back when? Before she violates it, before stira. But after this stira, after this seclusion, he can no longer retract that warning. Mimai, where do we see that from? The way that the rabbis respond to Rabbi Yossi, because what happened? This sanya. Rabbi Yossi omer, ba'alo ne'eman aleha mikal v'chomer. Well, remember again, Rabbi Yossi said, this is talking about again when they're going to the Beis HaMikdash. So Rabbi Yossi wanted to suggest that the Beis Din does not have to send two Talmidei Chachamim with the couple because the husband is believed not to have relations with his wife. Where do we get that from? It's a kavachomer. What's the kavachomer? Umani da she bekares baila ne'eman aleha. But remember, Rabbi Yossi said, a husband, right? When a woman is in nida, so a husband doesn't have to separate from her. I mean, he doesn't have to live in a separate house. He's permitted to live under the same roof with her. And yet what? He is ne'eman. He is believed that he's not going to have relations with her. And I will say, that's a much more significant and severe situation because relations with a nida ultimately is punishable by kares. And yet the husband is believed. Sota shehi balav. So we'll say, all the more so sota, which what? Sota is only punishable by a lav, all the more so he should be believed. So the Gemara says, Amru lo, so he responded back to Rabbi Yossi, lo, im amrut benida shekin yesh laheter, tomar besota shein laheter. But the rabbi said, it's apples and oranges. By nida, the reason why he's believed is why? Because yesh laheter, she will become permitted to him. So we believe that he'll control himself. He knows that his wife is going to go to the mikvah. She's going to be permitted to him. And therefore, again, he's able to restrain himself. On the other hand, again, when it comes to sota, it will say, once she violates the warning, then what? It's possible that what? That she'll never be permitted to him. Oh, what do you see from here? V'i amrit la'achar stira machola. But if you say that he has the ability to retract the warning and rescind the warning, even after what? Even after she violated the warning and she was alone with this other man, then mashkachas la diyesh laheter, then there is a case where what? There is a case where lemaisa, again, she can become permitted to him. And therefore, again, it should be that nida and sota are on the same level, because just like nida, again, she's going to go to the mikvah, therefore she's permitted. So to sota, she could also become permitted to him. How? By him rescinding the warning. But yet, again, you see that no one counters that. So what do you see from there? Ella lav shmamina la'achar stira eino machol shmamina. Rather, Rabbi say, what do we see from here? That even though we agree with the fact that lemaisa, again, husband can't go ahead and husband can pull back the warning, we also see that what? The warning can only be rescinded when? Before violation of the warning, before stira, but after stira it may not be rescinded. And Rabbi said, that indeed is how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. So now I'll fill in the rest of the blank. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Baal Shemochal al Kinui. If a husband decided to rescind, to go to be mochal on the warning, kodem stira, before she went ahead and she violated the warning and was alone with this man, kinuyav machol, the warning is avoided, uki'ilu lo kina lo, and it's as if he never warned her at all. Aval achar stira, but lemaisa, again, after she already violated the warning, she was alone with the man, the halacha is ein kinuyav machol. At that point, I will say, once there's been violation of the warning, which really triggers the entire sota process, at that point in time, he can no longer go ahead and void the warning at all. Mesu ba'alein, ad shelo shasu. We'll say, so remember again, now we have machlogis b'sham b'silo, in the following situation. So what happens if halacha lemaisa, again, the husband dies before she has the ability to drink, right? So again, sota process has been initiated. She has to drink. Husband dies before she could drink. So what's the halacha? So remember again, b'da machlokes b'shamay and b'sila. So the lashon in the Mishnah was that Beis Hillel Beis Shammai says, not los ksuva velo shosos. So Beis Shammai says, she gets her ksuva, and she doesn't drink. Meaning, obviously, she's not going to drink, husband's dead. So she gets her ksuva, the process is over, she gets her ksuva. And Beis Hillel says, no. Meaning, once you are a sota, meaning, so once you've already violated that warning, o shosos, o lo not los ksuva. Either you drink, or you lose your ksuva. In other words, that since you can't drink according to Beis Hillel, therefore she loses her ksuva as well. So Beis Shammai essentially says, because she can't drink, she gets her ksuva. And Beis Hillel says, because she can't drink, she loses her ksuva. To which the Gemara says, "Bamai kamifligi." What are they arguing about? So Beis Shammai Sabri, this is actually very interesting. So Beis Shammai says, "Shtar ha'omei legavos, ki gavoi dami." So we'll say Beis Shammai holds that literally a document, or literally a debt that stands to be collected is as if it is already collected. I will say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Last Rashi on the daf of Amud Aleph. Misha yeshlo shtar chov achaver. If somebody has a debt against his friend, v'shibed lo bo nechasov, muchsak balashtar b'nechasim, yosem min halova, v'hilchach kevan v'nechasei b'rishusei kaimei, havi le'yarshi abal tovin, v'amotzi mechaber alav araya, v'alein lo havi raya shezinsa b'stira zuva ad l'ksosos. This is amazing. So Beis Shammai holds that the most, if I have a lien against property, a lien places that property in my rishus. In my rishus, I am like the quasi-owner of that property. So therefore, again, Beis Shammai says like this, when a woman has a ksuva, then what happens? She has the lien against the property. Says Beis Shammai, that lien makes it as if that property is hers. So watch this. When the husband dies, she is considered to be the muchzak. She is considered to be the one who is in possession of that property, which means that if the heirs say, you're not entitled to that ksuva, then what? The burden of proof is upon who? The burden of proof is upon them. It's going to be hamotzi mechaver alav haraya. She is considered to be the muchzak. She is considered to be the owner. If they want to extract it from her, they have to prove that she committed adultery and therefore went ahead and forfeited the ksuva. On the other hand, Beis Hillel Savri Amud Beis, Beis Hillel says, no, shtar ha'omi legavos, lav ki gavoi dami. On the other hand, Beis Hillel holds that is not the case. Rather, just because you have a lien, having a lien, possessing a lien, does not automatically place property in your rishus. So we'll say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. First Rashi on the daf over here. So Rashi says, "V'havi lehi tovas misafek." So at most, she has a claim against the estate, and her claim is out of doubt, is a safek. To Dilma Zanoi, perhaps she committed adultery. Hilchach inu vadai v'hi safek. Therefore, again, the heirs are considered to be the muchzak. They're considered to be the owners of the property, and she's a safek. She has a possible entitlement. Vein safek motzei midei vadai va'aleh lahavi raya shelo zinsa. Therefore, the burden of proof is upon her to prove that what? That she did not commit adultery. So most fascinating machlokis. And by the way, this is not just a machlokis by sota. This is a general inheritance law, not really inheritance law, monetary law machlokis. Beis Shammai says that ultimately a lien is tantamount to possession. Beis Hillel says a lien is not tantamount to possession. The nafkamino over here, her husband dies, she can't drink. Okay, she has a lien against the property. Beis Shammai says it's hers. If anything, the burden of proof is upon the heirs to prove that she committed adultery and she's not entitled to it. Beis Hillel says no, a lien is a lien. A lien is not possession. Therefore, if she wants that property, it's the burden of proof is upon her to prove that what? That she did not commit adultery. So I'll say, just you should know, halach lemaisa, how do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch again, excuse me, this is the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch doesn't actually rule on this case. So the Rambam Hilchos Sota, Perek Beis Halacha Zayin says, Isha ha'omedes lishtos. If you have a woman who is about to drink the waters, meaning again, she's been warned, she's violated the warning, she's going to drink the waters, but her husband dies. Umeis baila kodem shetishta. And again, her husband died before she could drink. First of all, in a shoseh. So that we already know, she doesn't drink. If there's no husband, there's no drinking. V'lo not los ksuvasa. We paskin ultimately like Beis Hillel, that Allah Lamaisa, again, she does not collect her ksuva. Now, when we say she doesn't collect her ksuva, what that means is she doesn't collect her ksuva without what? Without proving her innocence. If she could prove somehow that she did not commit adultery, then Enoch Inami, she is entitled to her ksuva. Now, I will say, now the reason for that is simple monetary law. Because remember, again, in order for her to collect that ksuva, she has to take it from the Yershim. The Yershim have the Chazak. I will say, it's no different than any time if I go over to you and I say you owe me $1,000, so what's your response to me? Very nice, prove it. Because any time you want to extract money, the burden of proof is always on the extractor. So all that Rambam saying over here is, in this case over here, we're not sure again, did she commit adultery, did she not commit adultery, and the process that would ascertain her guilt or her innocence is no longer on the table because the husband died. Therefore, her status is suffix. We don't know what she is. Is she an adulteress? Is she not an adulteress? Therefore, she has no right to collect money unless she could prove that she did not commit adultery. So the Gemara goes weiter. Amar Rav Nachman, Me'ubaris Chaveiro. I'm sorry. So let's remember again, the next case was in the Mishnah, that Aloch Lamaisa, again, if a man marries Me'ubaris Chaveiro or Menekes Chaveiro. Remember again, we saw yesterday that a man is not supposed to marry a woman who is pregnant or a woman who is nursing a child. A man is supposed to wait for 2 years till the child is two. The concern that Chazal had was that if she becomes pregnant again while nursing, so ultimately again it will diminish her milk supply and put her first child in peril. And again, what Chazal were concerned about is that a man may not be as willing to supplement the diet of a child who is not his. So there's a fear of danger for the child. Therefore, again, we'd rather the woman not get married until the child is 2 years old. So Amar Rav Nachman said it's rabbinic, obviously in nature. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, Machlokes Ba'akara Uzikena. So it says Rav Baravua, the machlokes ultimately again is only in a case of an akara, of a woman who is akara, is literally she is barren, uzikena, and she is old, or she is old. Aval Ilanis Divrei Hakol Lo Shosa Velo Not Los Ksuvasa. So let's remember again, the Mishnah then went on to discuss a series of cases of where a man is married to a woman in a union that cannot produce children. So remember again, that case we had a machlokis in the Mishnah about what to do. So the first opinion in the Mishnah, Tanakam in the Mishnah said that in that case, Rabbi Osai, the halacha is so the Tanakam said those cases, so she does not drink and she doesn't have a ksuva because essentially it's an illegal marriage. Why is it an illegal marriage? Because a marriage that cannot result in offspring, the Tanakama felt, is an illegal marriage. Rabbi Elazar says it's not an illegal marriage. Why? He could always marry another woman to have children with that particular woman. So the Gemara qualifies this. The Gemara's Rabbi Avu says the machlokis is only in the case of an akara, a woman who's barren, uzikeno, and a woman ultimately who's old. Aval ilanis. So we'll say, take a look at Rashi just a moment, but akara uzikeno, deleka lameimar eno shosa, that ultimately, again, we could say in those cases that she doesn't drink, elataima mishum delo chazi lakaima ala polygrabalaz, ra'amir ra'uya lakaimahi, diacholisa isha acheres. So we'll say, it's in the case of the akara, of the woman who's barren, and in the old woman, where there's a machlokes, where the Tanakama says these women will not drink and don't get a ksuba, and Rabbi Eliezer says that no, he could always marry another woman. Aval Ilanis, but I'm also in the case of Ilanis, remember what's the Ilanis? Ilanis is the case of a woman who never physically matures, never displays female characteristics. Divrei Hakol Lo Shosa Velo No Teles Ksuva. Ksuva. So I'll say in that case, everyone agrees that what? Everyone agrees that Lamaisa, she does not drink and she does not go ahead and get a ksuva. Shene'emar, v'niksa v'nizra. Because the Pasuk says that she will be cleansed. This is talking about, again, in the event that she did not commit adultery, what's the impact of the waters upon her? The impact of the waters are that ultimately it'll take root, v'nizra, and it'll be like seed for her. In other words, it'll impregnate her. Mi shadarka lahazria. So what do we see? The Gemara darshins. Oh, when is a woman subject to the sota process? Only if she has the ability to become pregnant. Yotzazu she'en darka lahazria. It comes to exclude a kisa of a woman who has no ability to become pregnant. So once I see here this distinction, remember, let's go back for just a moment yesterday. How did the Gemara define the case of an akara? So the case of akara, the case of the barren woman, remember, was a situation in which lemaisa, again, remember, the woman drank a kos shel ikrin. She drank this potion that ultimately rendered her barren. So we're not talking about a case of a woman who is naturally barren, but rather a woman who took certain steps. So look what the Gemara is saying over here. The Gemara, let's work backwards. The Gemara is saying, when is the machlokes Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer? Only in a case of a woman who had the capacity to have children, but doesn't have the capacity anymore. For example, an akara or a zekena. In both of these cases, these women had the ability to have children, but again, one is the result just of the passage of time, and one is the result of, because she took certain additional steps, can't have children now. That's the machlokes. So the Tanakhama says that since that marriage can't result in children, then lemaisa, again, it's not a valid marriage, and therefore, again, she doesn't drink, and there's no ksuva. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, she does drink, there is a ksuva. Why? Because he could always marry someone else for a period of time to have children. But in Gemara suggesting over here, in the case of an islandess,
which is a woman incapable of having children, never capable, meirechem, from the womb she was never capable of having children. So the Gemara suggests everyone agrees that if a man is married to an eilumis, she is not subject to the laws of sota. Why not? Because the Torah's wording by sota is v'niksa v'nizra. Ultimately, if she did not commit adultery, v'niksa, which means it'll take root in her, v'nizra, and it will act as seed for her. So the Gemara asks, what do you see from here? Only a woman who has at least the capacity, or at some point in time did have the capacity to become pregnant, is subject to the laws of sota. But a woman who never had that capacity, at the end of the day, is not subject to these laws, and therefore, again, the eilumis will not be subject to the laws of sota. So we'll stop over here. We're out of time. We don't have time for the parasha thoughts for today, but the Emirat Hashem will pick up next week. Shkoyach. Shir tomorrow morning is given by Yehuda at Emirat Hashem 8:15 tomorrow morning in the Beis Medrash. Good night of Shabbos.